The following message is brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton.
About staying in position and the three things that influence you to come out of position. God has established believers in Christ into a position of authority in this earth. And the things that influence us to get out of position are selfishness, fear, and pride. As I was praying about, you know, this week, I'm moving into the pride part. But the Lord brought this to my attention, and it solves selfishness. It solves fear. It solves pride. I must decrease. He must increase. Which is what Pastor Jim was saying. You know, being spirit-led is not listening to my thoughts, listening to the world's thoughts, making sure my opinion is the one that I'm following. That's me increasing. And as I increase, I can't hear him. And so we're going to talk about that today. So Father, thank you for this day. Thank you for your word, Father. Thank you for opening up your word to us, that our souls would be trained in you, that we would be sensitive to your Spirit's voice, that we would follow the Spirit of truth into all truth that we need to know for every situation. Father, we've been sent here to advance your kingdom. And it's your kingdom being advanced. It's not mine. It's not somebody else's. It's your kingdom. You pay the ultimate price for it. You deserve all the honor and all the praise, Father. You deserve our devotion. You deserve us putting you at the top. We thank you for being with us today. We thank you for sending your Spirit to dwell inside of us, to lead us. Again, help us to be leadable. In Jesus' name, amen? Amen. Amen. So the thing about John the Baptist, and you can read the Gospel of John, read chapter 1, you'll understand more. But in Matthew 11, I'm going to read 11 and 12 in the Amplified. But 11 says, and Jesus is telling you this. He says, truly I tell you, among those born of women, there has not risen anyone greater than John the Baptist. Jesus said that anyone that's ever going to be born of woman, no one's going to be greater than him. Do you think maybe we should pay attention to what he said? When John the Baptist said, I must decrease, so he will increase. If Jesus is saying, listen, the one that was preparing the way in the desert for me, Isaiah 40, he was pretty special. He was sent here for a purpose. He knew something. And then the next thing it said is, yet he who is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. We have a place we're going where the toils and the struggles of the sin nature will be gone. It's a real place. Some of our brothers and sisters have gone before us. They're there waiting, preparing, actually. It's going to be quite the reunion. But this is what Jesus was saying about John the Baptist, the one who had just said, I must decrease, he must increase. Verse 12, and then he says, and from the days of John the Baptist until the present time, the kingdom of heaven has endured violent assault, and violent men seize it by force as a precious prize. A share in the heavenly kingdom is sought with the most ardent zeal and intense exertion. And I've preached on that before. But in light of what the Lord's been sharing with me, I must violently decrease. He must violently increase. You see, the flesh is violently trying to take me down, trying to take you down, influenced by the evil one, getting you not to listen to that still small voice that's inside of you, which is the Spirit of God, His Spirit. It says the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead resides inside of you. Wow. You are a set aside people. because of your faith and because of the grace afforded to you by Jesus. And grace is unmerited favor. I don't want to be out of position. And yet, when I'm living my life and I come against things, because we all do, right? By default, my mind starts trying to figure stuff out. Solution. Men, who's in here? You want to fix it, right? And what do you lean on first, typically, as a man? My own experiences, right? I mean, you know, I've got some experiences. You know, I hear gurgling in the septic. I've got some experience, right? I got some problems coming. I know how to use a sewer snake. I can promise you. But you know, with those experiences, you know. But honestly, your mind goes to what you've experienced. That's where you go first. That's not me decreasing. And Pastor Jim, he laid it out so neatly. I need to be moment by moment checking in with him. Right? Listen, if the Spirit of Truth, and let's just, I'm going to say it this way. He knows everything about everything. I don't need, what's the AI thing that... Chat GT or what are they, whatever the stuff is. I don't need to ask the computer something. Because that computer doesn't know everything about everything. But God does. The creator of the universe knows everything about everything. He gave his spirit to reside inside of your spirit. He couldn't come reside inside of people until Jesus paid the price for people. That's why Jesus said, he can't come unless I pay the price and go. But because Jesus paid the price, the Holy Spirit came. And it said that you're sealed with him until the day of redemption when you've done the ABCs. And Jim said it great. A, you admit and acknowledge that, hey, I've sinned, I needed a Savior. B, you believe Jesus is that Savior, and he is. And then C, you confess it with your mouth, right? If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart he rose from the dead, you will be saved, right? So right at that moment, the Holy Spirit of truth lives inside of your spirit. But when he moved in, he had an influence on his immediate neighbor, which was the soul. Your soul felt his presence. Your soul made the decision to accept Jesus. And the flesh threw a fit. And it hadn't stopped throwing a fit. Because it wasn't in charge anymore. It had been used to influencing the flesh, getting its way, like the little two-year-old. Right? But we don't have to live that way now. You see, I'm decreasing, and he's increasing. And that needs to happen day by day in my life, moment by moment, day by day, nothing, moment by moment. What's that have to do with pride? Everything. Everything. In James 4, and I'm reading verses 5 through 7 in the New King James. Or do you think that the scripture says in vain, the spirit who dwells in us yearns jealously, okay? But he gives more grace. Therefore, he says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Okay? It says, God resists the proud, but gives grace, that unmerited favor, to the humble, to those who are decreasing and allowing him to increase. And then it says, therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. And that verse, you know, I mean, that's my spiritual warfare verse. You want to know about spiritual warfare? Learn that verse. Know it. It's an impossibility for you to resist the devil when you're being resisted by God. It doesn't say God ignores the proud. Doesn't say that. Doesn't say that God looks down on and just doesn't really like the proud. Doesn't say that. The creator of the universe resists, stands against you when you're walking in pride. How well you think it's going to work? Your way that you insisted on. We know James 4, read from the top. Where do the quarrels start from? You wanting your own way, remember, in the Passion? We've been here before. This is Paul Harvey's the rest of the story, right? The rest of the story is, I can't walk in my own ways thinking I'm right and I need to do it this way. Regardless of my experience, regardless of my education. Ooh. The Apostle Paul had a lot of education. He counted it as nothing, less than nothing. Excrement's what he said it was. That's what he said. He said, that's it. He said, Jesus is what I want to know. Right? And look, we all do it. Not, you know, I was talking to Sarah the other day, you know, I look back 20, 25 years raising our kids, you know, I made a lot of mistakes. I didn't know I was making the mistakes. I didn't know. I thought I was right. I was learning how to hear the Spirit, but I wasn't good at it. Now, did God beat me to death over it? No. He was looking at my heart. It wasn't so much I was proud, I was stupid. But His grace abounded. But when you stubbornly stick to being stupid, that becomes pride. Stubbornly stupid. I guess that's probably my definition of pride. Stubbornly stupid. You're taking a stand. You're basically saying, God, I kind of hear what you're saying, but I ain't doing it. Because this person hurt me. Because this, whatever excuse you want to give. Because this person was wrong. And they may have been. Listen, folks, we need to decrease and allow Him to increase. Now, listen, that doesn't mean, hear me, that we're going to just be nice to everybody. Remember, nice means agreeable. I'm not going to agree with something that's against God's word. I'm not going to. But I can kindly disagree. That's the fruit of the Spirit. I can be kind and telling someone, look, I'm not going to go down that road. I'm not going to dance the dance we've always danced. When the music started playing, you know, the flesh music, it starts playing. That person knows how to act this way. That person knows how to act this way. And it's a fight like it has been last year, the year before, the 10-year, you know what I'm saying? So does anybody know what I'm talking about? Has anybody heard that music? Why do quarrels fight? You know, all that stuff. Because you're insisting on your own way. You know, I've caught myself insisting on a way when I didn't even know I was insisting on it. I was blindly, just habitually walking down this road. And finally the Lord said, did I tell you to do it that way? And I had to stop and say, did you? And He's like, no. Is that why this has been kind of not so good? Yes. Oh. I was stupid. Don't be stubbornly stupid. The third time's when the man pulled over. First time, that was stupid. You heard him. But there's grace there. It's like, well, did I hear you? Did I not hear you? We've all been there, guys. We've all been there. It's okay. Second time, it's like, well, I got to be somewhere. I heard Jim say, I got to be somewhere. I mean, how many of you, I need to do it this way. Well, why? Well, because this is the best way to do it. Who said? Experience said. Maybe. And maybe it is the way God's saying to do it. Check with Him first. Check with him. I am talking about pride here. Check with him. But if I do it the way you're saying, God, it's going to take a lot more time. Who said? Because how many times have you started a project that I didn't think would take very long? And oh boy. Oh boy. Yay. I mean, how many people in a project need some unmerited favor? Double hands. I need the grace of God. Right? And we all need that grace that abounds towards us. Because you're walking in humility, which means you're walking by the Spirit of God. Listen, you know, buckle up because we're going to spend a few weeks on this pride thing. Because pride shows up in lots of ways. And oftentimes we don't even realize. You know. Usually I know I'm walking in pride when I start feeling the resistance of God. And I don't like feeling that. I felt it. And it's like it's a scary place. And it should be, by the way. It should be. And that's where I need to start examining. Okay, what? Lord, laid bare before you, where is it that I'm needing to decrease? Because I don't like feeling resisted by you. Because we need to be right. How many of you married guys have been resisted by your wife? You felt it. You walked in and you felt the, huh? And you're like, oh, something has gone awry. I said something or forgot something or did something, right? Well, it's the same way with the Spirit of God. It really is. When you offend God, it's not even offended. Like when I don't pay attention to him on something, it hurts him. I don't want that. I don't like that. Because it puts that barrier that I did. It's me. Because he follows his rules. He's a just God. Does he love me? Yes. Is he like treating me this way? No. He's reaching out to me going, why are you walking that way when I said this way? Okay, let me get back on track. Submitting to God is walking in humility. You won't resist the devil until you do. And he ain't fleeing. Satan ain't fleeing. He's going to have a heyday. Lots of fun as God resists you. So that's your little warning sticker with pride. I don't want to be there. And I don't want you to be there. And honestly, it is a heart attitude. It really is. All right, Romans 8, verse 31. What shall we say to all of this? If God is for us, who can be against us? Who can be our foe if God is on our side? How many love scripture? I love that scripture. But again, God taught me years ago to play Sesame Street with all the scriptures. That doesn't mean I'm changing it. But what it says is, if God is for us. If I'm in pride, is he for me? No! Then it says, who can be against us? If he's not for me, who can be against me? Everybody and everything and every situation and every little mess up along my plan that I thought was so good. Everything's against me. Why? Because he's not for me. Why? Because of me. Because I'm walking in pride. Because I'm demanding it be my way. I've been there, done it, got the t-shirt. Yucky. And when do you cry out to him? When it's a big, big mess. Right? And guess what you're ready to do? Humble yourself before the mighty hand of God. You're ready for it then, because it's like, wow, my way is not a good way. In Psalms chapter 10, verse 4. It says, the wicked in his proud countenance does not seek God. God is in none of his thoughts. What I'm trying to do, remember, when I'm preaching to you, I'm not up here saying, oh, these poor people, they just don't know things, so I'm going to share all of my knowledge. No, what I'm saying is, you know what? I've been looking in the mirror, and God's been teaching me, and I'm going to let you sit in on the class. Really? Because I got to walk this out. And the further I walk it out, the more he reveals to me how much more I need to decrease so that he increases. And that's not a bad thing. It's a good thing. It puts him for me to where then nothing can stand against me because he is for me. In 2 Corinthians, and read, when I pick out little parts of scripture, don't be afraid to go back and read before and after. Get a lot more context here. I'm only have a certain amount of time before your tuchuses get sore and you're ready to go, because mine does too. But in 2 Corinthians chapter 10, I'm going to read 17 and 18. I'm reading out of the Passion. It says, for the one who boasts must boast in the Lord. So let's be clear, and here's the point. To have the Lord's approval and commendation is of greater value than bragging about oneself. You see, we all want to hear, well done, good and faithful servant. You know, and people think about that, you know, at the end of time when we stand before Jesus at the mercy seat. I like that. But I want to hear that at the end of every day. You know, Monty, you were listening. You may not have done it perfect, but at least you were trying. You were acknowledging me. Your thoughts were of me in that. Lord, how should I do this? What should I do about this? You know, when the texts come in, when the calls come in, you come to me first. You don't lean on your own understanding. You're acknowledging me in all your ways. And I'm going to direct your path. You ever heard that scripture? We use that one a lot. Huh? Why? I need him. Desperately. Vitally. You know what vital means? I'll die without him. And that's the truth. Relationships die without him. Plans die without him. Your physical body will die. Your eternal body will die without him. You have to have Jesus. But praise God, he freely gives himself to us. He said, believe me in your heart and then confess with your mouth. Then I'll put my spirit inside of you to train you to decrease as I increase. Because that's what we're in. We're in training. We're in training. We're in training. So don't take this message and go home and say, wow, I'm in trouble. No, take this message and say, wow, I have a loving God who gave me his spirit to start training me to walk out the fullness he has for me. Amen. That's good news. That's what we share is good news. Good news of Jesus. Probably wasn't the pride sermon you thought you were going to hear, huh? But what he really made so clear to me is, Eric Erickson probably has been accused, well, you're just proud. You're just being prideful. And then you go to, well, I don't want to be proud, and so I'm going to really be low. Everybody's better than me. I'm not good at all. That ain't what the word says either. And what were you trying to do? Be humble your own way, which was pride. The only way you're going to walk out what God wants for you, the way he wants, is by his spirit. That way you can be confident in what he's told you, because confidence isn't pride. Because my confidence isn't in myself, it's It's in him. And I can be kind as I share the truth he told me to share, not the truth I wanted to share. Because let me tell you, I read some stuff, I want to share some truth. Lots of truth coming out here with scriptures. I'm going to give it to them because I got it all figured out. What am I going to say? It's going to hit them like a ton of bricks. And I'm going to beat them with the truth. I have felt that way. But praise God, the Spirit was saying, whoa. delete. Close the computer and start praying. Mon, I didn't tell you to enter that fray. Pray for those people. Love them. Hey, if he tells you to enter, enter. But don't you hit send until you know the Holy Spirit said. And you better know that you know that you know. And it better be with the fruit of the Spirit. Gentle, kind, good. I'm not saying you don't get into frays that you're called to. Hey, listen, again, my nature is ready, fire, aim. That's my nature. It is. That whole parked car, I'm a speeding car going. I never had a steering wheel without him, though. Didn't know where I was going, just going. But let's be ready, and then let's let the Holy Spirit aim in the direction he wants with the love of God as the bullet. It's the love of God we're sharing. And his love is patient, kind. Again, read 1 Corinthians 13. And that's the way we're supposed to share things. Doesn't mean we back off the truth. We don't back off the truth, but we speak the truth in love. If you can speak the truth in love by the Spirit of God, you're walking in humility. You are. If you speak the truth, fired up to show how much truth you got, you're about to be resisted by the creator of the universe. And I know, because I've been there. Lord, help me. That's why I need him every day. I need him every moment. I need to check with him so that my thoughts are with him, so that my commendation is from him. Does that make sense? Isaiah 55, we know this. I quote it a lot, but let's read it. Isaiah 55, verses 6 through 9, it says, "Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near." Now listen to this. "Let the wicked forsake his own way, and the unrighteous man his own thoughts." Listen, I'm always talking about training the soul. Why? Because that's your mind. It's your will and it's your emotions. It's your mind. It's your thoughts. Bring his thoughts into your thoughts. Where is he thinking? In the Spirit. That's where you can get into the mind of Christ, is by the Spirit of God. Where my mind stops what I'm thinking, what I'm thinking, where I'm starting to increase because I'm figuring out how to handle this situation, from my experience, from my knowledge, from my. Doesn't sound like I'm decreasing there. Where I shut that off, because I'm not saying you're not going to have that first thought of, this is what I got to do. Here's the problem. Let's do it. I'm not saying you don't have that thought. But take it captive and say, okay, Lord, I'm thinking this away. But listen, I know, as I read further, your thoughts are much higher than mine. And I don't want to assume with you, assuming that we've been to this place where the rock is. Remember that sermon I taught you with Moses? Remember?
needed water. God sent him to the rock, told him to hit the rock, water came out. They get back in another pickle, same rock, same place. We need water. God tells him to speak to the rock. Moses goes to the rock. He's mad. Why? Because the people are being turkeys. And he has a good reason to be mad. He does. He has a great reason to be mad. And he goes to the rock. Instead of speaking to it, he hits it. Water came out because God loved Moses and he loved his people. But then God went and talked to Moses and said, listen, you misrepresented me. You had your way and you put it in front of my way. And there was a consequence. He couldn't go to the promised land because of it. And that hurt Moses, just so you know. But he understood. He understood. And you don't read him doing that again. He understood that he was representing God. He understood that there was a responsibility that he had. If we're going to be in the position that Christ has put us in, and if we're going to stay there, we have to understand it's a responsibility. We represent him.
Thank you for listening to this message brought to you by the Lighthouse Church of Raton. For more information, check out our website at www.lighthouseraton.com or find us on Facebook at facebook.com/lighthouseraton. Please join us in person at 10 a.m. Sunday mornings at our new location, 1310 South 2nd Street in Raton, New Mexico. You can support the Lighthouse Radio Ministry by giving online at www.lighthouseraton.com or send a check to 1310 South 2nd Street, Raton, New Mexico, 87740. Will lead me through. You are the peace in my troubled sea. Whoa, you are the peace in my troubled sea. My lighthouse, my lighthouse, shining in the darkness. I will follow you. Oh, my lighthouse, my lighthouse. I will trust the promise. You will carry me safe to shore. Troubled sea, whoa, you are the peace.